Welcome to episode 112 of The Kraken Pod, a podcast for Seattle Kraken fans, those new and old to hockey, and hockey fans looking to have some fun. Along with you, we try to go into what lies beneath when it comes to everything Seattle Kraken and the NHL, and like why am I speaking quietly, a little lower? Well, I'll kind of explain, and it has to do with the Kraken reaction where we just react with this, oh no, we suck again! We have to talk about some NHL news, which is, you know, like playoff stuff. Notum questions. This is relevant. What exactly happened with Dave Haxtell in Philadelphia? And our three stars of the week, where Joey and I talk about what we've been into for the past week, and we rank them. Let's do this thing. Episode 112 of The Kraken Pod. Let's go. What's up? My name is Jeff Januzik. This is my friend and co-host,
Joey Cirillo.
So, it's kind of ironic. Is here we are. This is the first time we've recorded an episode like this in a very long time, and by that, we're kind of channeling vibes of the first season of Seattle Kraken hockey, which literally is exactly kind of where we are with this team. And what I mean is, we used to record our episodes like in the evening after my kids went to bed and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it's tough because, you know, we're both tired after a long day of busting our ass and doing all the things that we got to do for life. And then we record a podcast. So we actually moved it to do mostly like Tuesday mornings during the week. Well, this week just absolutely sucked for me. So I was pushing it back. Plus, you know, mourning this team. So here we are. It's 10 o'clock Central Time. Wednesday, March 27th.
Yes.
And I'm kind of in the kitchen away from the other side of the house where the kids are sleeping and my wife is, you know, chilling and getting ready for bed and all that sort of stuff. So I'm like kind of quietly talking about the Kraken. So that's why I'm not like, you know, usually amped up. So anyway.
I get it. It happens.
How are you, man?
It's late. I'm doing good, man. I would say, how are you? But I think you just kind of... I've explained everything there. Yeah, it's been a bit of a weird week. There's 8 million things going on. So I'm with you there. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to talk some Seattle Kraken. At least the boys, and I know I'm kind of getting into it a little early here.
Yeah.
At least he gave us that win last night because, oh, dear God, did we need that.
Totally needed to change the vibes. One question for you, though, is like, do you get like, if you get really amped up on the podcast and like you go late, are you getting like a fist pound on the wall from the girlfriend, like, keep it down on that podcast in there? You ever get that at all? Or like, is it
I try to be a respectful, decent human being. I go in the room and I close the door and I'm just like, I don't know. This house, like, it's also, you know, I'm a bit of a night owl by nature anyways, you know, not having kids. I'm usually up until midnight, 1 a.m. during the week as is. So this is par for the only difference is I'm usually not yelling about. Well, actually, I don't know. The Kraken play until pretty late, so I can be yelling about hockey pretty late tonight.
Okay, that's fair. It's true. It's good. I used to be a night owl, and then children, and then now like 10:30 is like, oh god, it's so late. Anyway,
I know.
Well, here we go. Take a deep breath. It's time for your Kraken reaction. So what a stretch, dude. What a stretch. It was basically, and there's so many different things we can talk about here, and we kind of touched on a few of these things last week because we were in the midst of this just like, oh, God. You know, last week when we recorded episode 111, we had a chance. We still had a chance to be in the playoffs, and now it's officially dead. Yeah. So you were correct. You were officially correct. You called it.
It doesn't feel good.
I hope it feels great, Joey. You called the death of this team. So, you know, I was Mr. Positive trying to be like, let's go. And you were like, they're not going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And it's true. They did not.
Yeah. Back in November. And I still feel, we don't need to go. We've beat that horse enough, but yeah, it doesn't feel good, Jeff. I wanted to be wrong. I wanted to be wrong for months. It's fine.
You know, just something's gone on. Vince Dunn not being there again. We mentioned this last week. He's your best player by far on offense and defense. Him not being around, you know, for just for so long has just really screwed this team up. And then it's just like, I think it's just, they got in their heads about it and just all the things. So where do we start to unravel this giant suckage ball?
I mean, the good news is, and I already mentioned this, a couple minutes ago, but thankfully the boys got that monkey off their back and they took care of that losing streak last night when they blew out Anaheim. But we do have to quickly kind of go over the games from last week.
Yeah.
And again, so this podcast has not become one where I'm just giving stats on these horrible, horrible losses. I didn't make a lot of notes on them, man. So let's go back really quick. So Thursday at Las Vegas, the Seattle Kraken lose 3-1. The game's 1-1 with 1:20 left in the third period. And the Seattle Kraken give up what ended up being the game-winning goal to Kian Kolesar. Jeff, do you have any other additional notes on that? Fuck me. Like, seriously.
You know, like, I'm
Vegas of all teams. Oh my God. Come on, man.
I mean, I'll have some thoughts here, and like, it just sucks. It really sucks losing to Las Vegas in very important games. And of course, you know, like, we had a slim chance to make the playoffs at that point. Very, very slim. Mm-hmm. But we just had to beat Las Vegas, and we couldn't do it. So losing to that team where their fans are just absolute, you know, like, volatile trash.
Yeah.
Like, they have every right to come at us now. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like they just owned us, and they owned us in important games. And
yes,
that's just brutal. Like, that's just Kraken hockey right now. We just,
yes,
we cannot finish games. And I'll talk more about that in a little bit.
Yeah, no, we can't finish games. And then right when you think it cannot get into any worse, the very next night at Arizona on Friday, the Kraken lose 2-1 in overtime after being up 1-0 with 1:08 left in the game. They give a goal to Clayton Keller. The game goes into overtime. And of course, this is what happens. Gunther scores 4:12 into it. The only positive news is that Ryker Evans, friend of the podcast,
yes,
member of the Kraken pod fam, he's got to come back on, him and Karts. He gets his first NHL goal ever. And I would rather focus on that than focus on another disappointing loss and like the waning moments of a game. The Seattle Kraken has ripped our hearts out of our chests, because it's not enough to just miss the playoffs. They have to do it so in a fashion to where it's like the, you know, the rusty blade being stabbed into our backside multiple times.
Well, that's why like Ryker Evans was like a little subdued in his celebration. Like, oh God, this is a rough season. But that was awesome to see him score that goal. Like,
I'm
really proud of him. He's such a good, he was a nice dude, good kid. And like, just to see him make, now I am worried though, dude, like I feel like we gave him a little bit of the Kraken pod bump, like him being on the pod. And now he finally scores his first career NHL goal.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with his preparation after years of toiling away trying to become professional. It's because he talked to us for 30 minutes.
Oh, no, dude, 100%. 100%. Yeah. And that's all us. But also, too, going into Montreal, like, maybe players don't want the Kraken bumps. And I'm afraid of that because, you know, he got hurt against Montreal. Yes. Which, by the way,
lower body industry comes for everybody eventually.
Let me ask you this, and like, I'm not shying away from like coughing up these last minute lead, like literal last minute leads. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But then, like, so was the Montreal loss on Sunday? Was that one of the lowest points in Seattle Kraken like history, where we just kind of just felt the worst, like as a fan base?
I want to say yeah, because we are, you know, we try really hard to be good vibes only. I mean, for me, I have to try. For you, I think it's pretty natural. Jeff Lasso is just who you are as a person, which I respect.
It's true.
But getting blown out 5-1 at home, which it doesn't matter because the Kraken have the worst winning percentage at home in the NHL and like top three ticket prices, which we've already covered last week. But 5 goals on 17 shots for the entire game. I mean, that tied a season high for Montreal, 4 goals in a game. Again, on 17 shots, Grubauer, the German gentleman, he was not ready to play either. He gave up 4 goals on 6 shots to start the game. I think, watching it closely, I think 2 of those he would have liked back the other two he had no chance against. But the team did not show up. Goaltending did not show up. Decord had to go in. And at this point, the Seattle Kraken had lost 8 games in a row. And Jeff, 6 out of those 8 games, the Kraken were held to 1 goal or less. Jordan Eberle against Montreal was the only goal for that game. It has been abysmal hockey. So that's where we're at. What a great podcast. I'm hope everyone's really enjoying
it. You know, but anybody who's listening to this episode right now is like just hardcore Kraken pod people and hardcore Seattle Kraken people. So thank you. I think our high point this season, we might have had 92 listeners. Now we're back down to like the core 38. So thank you for being in that number and dealing with this, listening to this just low effort podcast, you know, like late night podcast is what I'm really mean. And then this just brutal team. And then, you know, like don't even know what to expect anymore. And I know on Twitter and social media, Kraken fans saying things like, let's tank, let's keep tanking, trying to like get that higher draft pick. You know, which is fair. Why not? You know, we've got like 15 games left, something like that. So yeah. going into playing Anaheim, I was like, fine. Like what's another loss? But you know, hey, they show us a little life and knock out a 4-0 win, a shutout. How about that?
Yeah, we got to do it for pride, though. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's like, you know, you're right. I mean, the Kraken are not making playoffs. You know, tank, whatever. But throw that shit to the side and just have some pride. And actually, after you know the game against Montreal, like Dave Haxtell was the most transparent I think he's ever been in a press conference while he's been an NHL head coach for the Seattle Kraken. I mean, he flat out called the team out, just saying these guys are not showing up and playing for each other. And it's embarrassing and something has to change. And they had a really, really hard practice the next day. And some people might be listening to this and be like, well, you know, too late, doesn't matter, who cares? But like for me, like I gave a shit because I think pride matters, right? And it's like Haxtell mentioned, it's like if you put on that jersey, it means something. And these guys haven't been playing like that. Well, they went out and they played like that. They blanked Anaheim 4-0. It snapped the 8-game losing streak. Beniers looked the best he's looked all season. Him and Golvin in the Finn finisher, they had 1 goal and assist apiece. That was fantastic. I did not notice until I looked up the stats tonight. The Ducks only had 12 shots on net the entire game, which is fucking bananas. But the Kraken played outstanding. Now, that being said, this is not a good team. This is Anaheim's 9th loss in the last 10 games. So it's not like we're doing this, you know, to Las Vegas or an Edmonton or a Los Angeles or anybody like that. But you know what? A win's a fucking win. We need it for the vibes. And for a brief moment towards the end of this season, the Seattle Kraken fans and the Kraken Pod fam can feel good about this team because, you know, a win feels nice.
It did feel nice. It's kind of like one of those, like, I don't even know what to compare it to. It's just like, okay, cool. It's more of like, oh, that's nice. It's more of like, oh, that's nice. Look at that. That's cool. Look at that. They're playing hockey again. I like that. Okay, cool. All right, great. That's yes. Nice. Yeah. Yes. Okay. We'll see what happens if we watch the next game. I'm not sure how I feel. We'll see in the moment. But, you know, hey, yeah. It's good. I'm happy to see this team making some effort, you know, because, like, you know, there's a mourning period. I don't know how you deal with, like, you know, a team that you absolutely love being not good, but like there's a little bit of a mourn. Like you have to like the acceptance phase is here. Yes. You know, you accept and go, this is who we are. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to be.
Yeah. Nope.
And we are the 8th worst team in the league. That's what we're going to be. We're in lottery pick territory. So that's positive.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really checked to see what the latest is on Vince Dunn, but he's obviously messed up beyond belief. And here's where my head's at right now is okay.
Why rush him back? Because it doesn't matter.
No, yeah, exactly. I don't want him to come back ever. No, I don't want him to come back.
Don't put that evil on me. Don't you do that? Don't do that to us.
No, I love Vince Dunn. We need him back, but yeah, like let him sit out. Get him to the beach. You know, get him on the beach with a hospital bed. You know, rub some, you know, baby oil on him, get him all tanned up while he's got the IVs in him. Like
Vince Dunn on the beach in a hospital bed. rubbed down with oils, but also hooked up to IVs. Is there any other scenario you would like to add?
vitamin D is so important. Like, he needs to relax and chill and rest. Like, get him out there on a gurney, whatever they call those things. Yeah. One of those like the beds that go like industrial strength, like adjustable bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be kind of a pain to like wheel the food tray out there in the sand, but maybe like we could work on that, like give him a little TV stand, you know, bring him his food.
Mm-hmm.
But like just let him chill on the beach in the sun, throw some glasses on him, like Weekend at Bernie's, and let him just like, you know, just feel good. So anyway, that's been a big deal. Losing Vince Dunn, huge deal. I think it's pretty obvious, but I guarantee in the room that kind of is a big part of it. One thing I will say is like, okay, and I don't know if you know this, but I am not a general manager. I'm not an NHL coach. I've never played an NHL game.
Mm-hmm.
I've never played any sort of organized hockey other than beer league hockey. So like, I don't know if you knew that, but I say all that to say this is, what do we do to figure out this problem, which is the finding ways to lose games that you've worked, you know, 58 minutes to be in position to win, or 60 minutes in position to win. So like looking at our record right now, Wednesday, March 27th at 10:14 p.m., your Seattle Kraken sit at 29-29-13. Woof. So I'm looking at a team, though, like the, let's go with, I had this all set up, the Predators, right?
Yeah.
43-25-4. So here's what I thought. Like, what if we go with our overtime losses, our overtime, you know, points, 13. Let's mimic the Preds number there, right? And let's say that like we had more of a 4. That means that we would have had maybe 9 wins. So that's basically 18 extra points. Is that right? Am I doing the math right? Long story short is, I don't
know. 1 point for point. Every. Yeah.
I'm using the abacus right now because I'm trying not to use too many electronics because kids and the wife are sleeping. So I'm clacking.
The thing where you push the beans to the side and they're all multicolored?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's abacus?
An abacus. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I'm old. I'm old AF. Okay.
Man, Jesus. Isaac Newton called. He wants his fucking mathematics device back.
It's an abacus.
Yeah.
Word of the day. Kraken Pod, word of the day. Abacus. As I try to determine how many points we would have gotten had we won some of those games that we went to overtime or lost in a shootout. And you know what? It's way more points than we have now. We would be in position for that wild card spot. Mm-hmm. So like it comes down to like it's literally the last couple of minutes. Like if you boil it down, is we are a really good 5-on-5 hockey team for the most part. Wait a second, dude, it's too late. I should not be doing a podcast right now because that made no sense. We are not. So what I'm trying to say is this is we're losing games in the last second and it's still happening. How do you fix that? I don't know. I'm not an NHL coach or GM, but this needs to be fixed. This needs to be fixed with some sort of talent or some sort of influx. Like I'm all about stocking up these draft picks, but at a certain point, like, and we can play the long game. Like I'm totally into playing the long-term game and working through all of our prospects and, you know, get the Furkus circus, getting that going, all these things. Right. But like you have to jumpstart this thing. You made an awesome point last episode about how, you know, people are paying a ton of money to go see games at the CPA.
Yes.
And to see this team, they have to invest in like a some sort of like talent band-aid for next season. And they've got to go get somebody. They got to figure this out because we've got to find a way to have some sort of a top 30 star in the NHL be able to help us, you know, finish games. Get those extra goals. Anyway,
yeah, and I think that's an important note because this team is, you know, bottom of the barrel when it comes to offense. You know, overall, the Seattle Kraken are a top 10 defensive team in the league.
Yeah, that's, again, last episode I said this.
I mean, like, just defense. I mean, not just goaltending, but just defense in general. I don't know. Goaltending lanes being just fucking shellacked minus,
they've given up.
Record shut out. But when the team's not playing well in front of your goalies, guess what? The goalies aren't going to be performing well either. But anyways, number 9 overall NHL defense. The offense just hasn't been there. I mean, like I just said, in the eight game, losing streak, 6 out of those games, the Kraken score 1 goal or less. So we need to address that. Talked about this when Eberle signed the 2-year contract. It's great and all. Glad Eberle's coming back. That does not fix the issues with the top 6. And I think that's going to be a priority in this offseason. I'm very, very excited, enthusiastic about what's going on. Speaking of like how they're going to fix things, I know the pipeline is part of the future. I had to make a note here. Last game, I really liked the Carts, Morrison, and Winterton line. Those boys were buzzing. I mean, you're basically just taking AHL teammates and throwing them on the line together, and they were cooking. And I want to just remind everybody really quick of a very brief like history that we have with these guys. So, and by the way, there's a lot of speculation about if these moves were made to send a message to the team, but Haxtell said that bringing up Morrison and Winterton, and by the way, Logan Morrison freaks me out because it just reminds me of that fucking first baseman for the Seattle Mariners who was a failed job. But anyways, that's just me being a Mariners fan. Happy opening day tomorrow or today when you listen to this. But anyways, Haxtell said that was not a message that he was sending to the team, that he was just doing it. It was a decision that was made before puck drop against Montreal. Winterton, right-handed shooting forward, 33 points in 55 games on 21 goals. He's drafted in 2021, 67th overall. And Morrison, 40 points in 60 games, 15 of those being goals. This dude was an undrafted free agent in 2023 when the Kraken picked him up. He had been in the NHL draft 3 times and was completely passed on. So I really like Morrison's story, and I really like the way that those guys are playing. They seem really hungry out there. So I'm excited to see what the pipeline does, and I'm excited to see just overall what this offseason looks like. I'm ready to aside from obviously the Stanley Cup playoff, which I'm going to be very excited for regardless, I'm ready for the Seattle Kraken offseason to get going.
Yeah, we need a shot in the arm. I don't know what that's going to be, but we need that to happen. And the youths are playing well, and it is exciting to see, players pumped to be on an NHL ice rink doing great things. So, I'm expecting more of that. The Kraken, as far as the rest of the way here for the rest of the week, I don't even know what I'm necessarily excited about, especially too when we're playing like Anaheim again Saturday against Dallas. That's interesting because Dallas is one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's going to be a game to watch, and maybe the boys can get some pride there. Then we got to play San Jose on Monday night. Like, honestly, like anybody outside of those two fan bases going to watch this game at all? No, absolutely not. So anyway, it's just kind of a rough go right now. So
I haven't had PTSD. I feel like a fucking Vietnam vet when it comes to San Jose. Cause now all I can think about is that game right before the All-Star break where we got shut out by San Jose.
Oh yeah.
And like, oh my God. I mean, talk about such a gut punch. And that's why I think I started calling them the Seattle Cancuns. Because these dudes were like, they were already there mentally. I mean, if you're getting blanked by that team, it's like, dude, what? And they were also missing their best player. I mean, like, we basically lost like a D2 hockey team, and everyone's like, talk about playoffs. I'm like, did you not just see what the fuck just happened? I mean, what the hell are we talking about? Anyways,
it's called foreshadowing. That was the foreshadowing game.
That was foreshadowing. Yeah. God, that was brutal. I would love to just Men in Black myself out of that memory forever if I could.
Man, I would actually pay money like to see a behind the scenes, reality series around this season, for the Kraken. Cause I really want to know like what's going on behind closed doors. I want to know like what's being said. What are the guys like, what's really happening to them? Did anything happen at all that set this team off? From the outside looking in, we can look at those key players we lost last year or in the off season. And obviously that made an impact, but like, how did it affect the actual morality of the team? Like the morale. And then, you know, what's been going on behind the scenes now with some of the new guys? Like, is somebody mad at each other? Did somebody hook up with somebody else's, you know, girlfriend on that beach trip or something? And I'm not saying, hey, look, I'm just, you know,
I'm going to clip that and put it into shorts, you know, because we need the engagement because the team's so bad. We just got to start making shit
dude,
up.
Dude, I heard a rumor that one of the players, like, totally stole a boat and, like, went all the way to Cuba and picked up, like, a whole boat's worth of cocaine and then, like, rode it back. But then just before they got to the beach, they, like, jumped out and they ghost-rided the boat into the beach and, like, the boat exploded and it snowed cocaine, like, all over the beach. And then somebody was like, that's the Seattle Kraken players. And they were like, oh, shit, boys, we've been found out. And they, like, ran. But then they ran into, like a kid's sandcastle and, like, destroyed it after the kid had spent, like, all day on the beach. But it was now covered in cocaine. And he had, like, it was destroyed. And he started crying. And, like, that Seattle Kraken made me cry. And then, like, that's the end of the story. Like, what if that happened?
Holy
allegedly?
Shit, man. That is, you just went so far into the depths that I mean, we haven't hit those in a hot minute. But that's where your brain goes when you start getting tired at night. You just go fucking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over there.
Yeah, like, but what if that happened? Like what if that was on guy? Like, could you see like a 30x30 of, like, you know, one of the players in the Kraken, like Matty Beniers, like, dude, when I'm trying to think of somebody, like, without making them mad, like, you know. When Dundertaker just came on, like,
yeah, there you go. Pick the one guy, yeah, who would definitely fight, punch us in the face. Yeah.
I mean,
well, I would love more than anything is after all of this.
They would, like, never, yeah, do that, by the way.
No. I would love more than anything if after this episode comes out and I'm just like, man, that got a little weird. I mean, we're recording late at night and I know Jeff's had a long day. And then the next day I go on ESPN and so I get a notification and it's like, NHL player caught smuggling cocaine from Cuba. I'm like, wait, what the fuck?
Dude, with all
what the,
like,
hell is happening? Yeah.
I mean, like, I saw somebody the other day say something like, remember when celebrities, like, made the news and everybody was shocked when they got arrested because they were drunk or they punched somebody in the face? Now, like, the celebrities and, like, the celebrity news is like, arrested for sex trafficking crimes and, like, craziness.
Yes.
That anyway, we will not see that happen. And now I've just probably single-handedly, like, melted down any chances we ever had to get any more players back on the show because I made some crazy story up in the middle of a late night podcast. And I think we might have to title this podcast, "Do Not Listen to This Podcast If You're a Seattle Kraken Player." I'm just going to say that. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, we love you, but maybe you shouldn't listen to this episode, Seattle Kraken Players. That's the title. Let's see.
Yeah.
Working title. It's cool.
Yeah, that's a very long title. The episode is just going to be one long title of just you apologizing.
Can we aim, Joey, you and I personally, to like have this be the lowest listened to episode in the history of the Kraken Pod?
Well, there's a good chance. Yeah, there's a good chance of that happening. It's okay. Between our lack of talent and the team saying fuck it, I think we're hitting, like, the depths, you know, is like when it gets weird, but, like, we're hitting a literal depths. Like, it's just us two talking to each other when it's like, don't you guys have lives? You should probably just go to bed.
That's what my wife said before. I was like, hey, honey, I'm gonna go, like, record this episode real quick. She's like, she said this verbatim. She said, are you sure it's a good idea? You've been really tired and a little cranky this week. And I was like, well, you're right.
You're not wrong. However, it's going to make for a great episode because it's just going to be me saying weird ass shit for 30 minutes.
Look, this is a long-term play. We're here for the Seattle Kraken, but just if you are a Seattle Kraken player listening to this, just let us have this and get it. We're just getting through it. Okay. So,
yeah.
All right. NHL news. The playoff pushes as officially began as the New York Rangers yesterday became the first NHL team to officially clinch a playoff spot.
Yeah.
When they beat the Philadelphia Flyers in overtime. And now we start locking in to see who is officially going to be in the playoffs. It's an awesome race. To double compound my hockey fandom misery is I feel like the Red Wings are not going to make it in. They're so close, but there's something magical happening with the Capitals. Somehow this team just keeps winning, and they really are not a great team, but they just keep finding ways to win. And the Red Wings' chances of getting into the playoffs are just like right on the brink. I think every game for them right now is a playoff game, and they have to win. So, you know, while the Rangers are in top of the league, we're looking at the East Coast. I'm sorry, the East wild card race and the West wild card race. And it's getting a little more clearer day by day. So it's exciting to see. And I am ready to move into the playoff mode so we can start picking who we want to root for and do a little playoff preview. The Golden Knights keep finding ways to just kind of be right there and you know, making it happen. So, you know, they're still barely clinging on to that playoff spot.
Yeah, I'm closely watching everything. I mean, I'm still trying to pick a team to kind of hitch my wagon to. I don't even think I hate to admit it. I'm just going to be honest about it. I'm going to root for Colorado because I'm not playing against, you know, they're not playing against Seattle. I lived in Colorado for, you know, like a decade. And actually the other day I was putting like some books in my, I say bookcase, like I'm fucking fancy. It's like a $2 thing I got on IKEA. And I'm putting like some books in it. And I opened it up. Is a book that my grandma gave me. And I forgot that I had stashed a bunch of like Avalanche, like signed black and white, like player photo pictures that I have. So I went like as a little kid, I got taken to like this thing to meet a bunch of players. So I have a bunch of signed stuff from the Colorado Avalanche. So I'm probably going to hitch my wagon to them for the playoffs, and we'll see, man. I don't know who else.
All right.
Obviously, New York Rangers for Winnie. That's going to be a lot of fun. Dallas, love their goaltending. That'll be good too. I don't know.
Well, I think that's the end of the podcast tonight, Joey. So,
okay.
I mean, you just said that you were going to hitch your wagon to the Colorado Avalanche. We really have to get off. Yeah.
And Sidney Crosby is my favorite player.
We have to have a non, like, you know, public discussion about this. So I'm going to put a little pin in that one, come back to it. But
okay.
Good point. I will say this is like, maybe this is something we ask you listening. We'll ask on social media, like, what's your no judgment zone playoff pick? Will you turn full heel and like kind of punch me in the throat, choose somebody like the Avalanche? Or will it be somebody else that wouldn't make me want to vomit? I don't know. Just, you know, let us know. Like, I'm kind of low key would like to see the Canucks actually pull something off. So, you know, and I you know, as a Seattle Kraken fan, I don't hate the Canucks. I don't like the Canucks, but I've always liked the Canucks as a hockey fan. And I'm already kind of, you know, assuming that the Red Wings don't make it in the playoffs. So there is that.
Yeah, no, freaking brutal, 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 brutal. So like you said, no judgment zone. I'm here for it.
I want the Bruins to lose. And that's really the only Eastern Conference team that I care about losing. I do want the Avalanche to lose. Sorry that I'm choosing against your favorite team.
You're fine.
And then the Knights, the Golden Knights. So like, as long as Colorado and the Golden Knights don't win the Stanley Cup, and the Boston Bruins don't win the Stanley Cup, I'm okay with anybody else winning.
Okay. All right. I'm super into it.
There you go. Yeah. As far as like actual news and things going on, there's nothing too crazy happening in the NHL right now, other than just teams trying to like stick around, be relevant, you know, trying to make things happen. So we just are like, let's just get this season over with, get to the playoffs so we can have something exciting to talk about and see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I got nothing else to say. I'm like, yeah, I concur.
So DraftKings Sportsbook. I got to tell you, Joey, DraftKings is making a lot of money off of this Kraken Pod episode 112 ad read.
Oh, I thought we were going to say off of Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, I think, you know what, dude? I think that is all. I do believe him when he's saying like,
interpreter. This is why I love you.
No, I believe him.
You seriously fucking believe that guy?
I believe that the interpreter did make up all this stuff to try and make like himself come off as like I was trying to help him out because he's so in debt because of all his gambling craziness that I actually was like trying to help him. That's why I embezzled $4.5 million. And yeah, I kind of believe Ohtani saying like, you know, yeah, dude, like, I don't have a gambling problem. This guy's just a scumbag. But of course, he couldn't say that in English.
It seems so unlikely. This guy took out large sums of money on multiple occasions from this dude's, you know, personal bank account. And it's like, I don't understand how somebody in the position that Ohtani is in, who has such a large, like, he's got his camp, right? He's got his people around him, and not a single assistant, financial advisor, banker, anybody give him any kind of heads up on this while this guy takes $4.5 million from you. I don't know. The whole thing just seems like he has to be the most blindly trusting, unluckiest person ever. And it's like an Occam's razor situation where it's like the easiest explanation is usually the one that's the truth. And for me, I'm like, this just smells like bullshit.
Yeah, no,
the LA Times, by the way, is like really digging into it. And I think it's actually a very fascinating, I think it's a big, big, big story. I'm very curious to see how it all plays out. I mean, if this dude's pulling the fucking Pete Rose, they're going to have a major problem.
Is he playing?
Ohtani?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's come out to show that he's, you know, been doing anything illegal. He's going to keep playing. And dude, here's the thing. The amount of money it costs just to even court that guy to come to the Dodgers. I mean, you're talking, I mean, like, this guy signs, it's just, I don't know. There's so much money involved with this whole scenario. And I find it very hard to believe that this is not the case, but I think that there's going to be a lot of the powers that be will make sure that this goes away and goes away accordingly. So I don't know if the public will ever really know exactly what went down. It looks fucking shady.
Yeah, it totally does. And I'm being serious here. And I'm going to say this, is I'm going to kind of do a reverse on this DraftKings thing. Is if you have, I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm seeing like, cause you'd think like if he does have a gambling problem, you know what I mean? Like it's crazy.
Call 100 gambler.
Well, but I'm saying like, how can somebody like that's just got life so together like that with, and like being no ceiling, you know, superstar.
Yeah.
Just like wasted away on having, and it's because, you know, it's a serious issue. Gambling problems are serious. If you feel like you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. And look, take that stuff seriously. Now, that's why I'm not doing the Shohei Ohtani amounts of money on DraftKings. I'm throwing out today while I was at
$4.5, $4.50.
So I did. My buddy Alex was like, dude, you got any fire hockey bets right now? I was like, I think I got some winners for tomorrow. And I'm like, so I gave him a 3-pick parlay for Thursday night. And I said, dude, please only bet like $3. So we did. It was great.
I have to shout out producer Brandon.
Oh,
who's
yeah.
Who's going to hear this? Did you see the fucking parlay that he hit during March Madness?
No. I thought you were just saying like, no. So like, first of all, happy belated birthday. His birthday was last week. So happy birthday.
It was.
Thanks for all your hard work dealing with this bullshit podcast. Yeah. What did he hit?
So he's in North Carolina. So he knows Duke very, very, very well. And so he was betting specifically on the James Madison at Duke in the March Madness game. He put together a fucking 6-leg parlay with odds of plus 3,000. The dude won $750 on a $25 bet. And he's like, yeah, this is going to hit first. Like he was so confident in it and he crushed it. It was Duke to win by at least 7, easy. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Roach over 14.5 points, Terrence Edwards under 16.5, et cetera, et cetera. He basically was just like, Duke's going to win. They're going to win by more than 7. And then he basically just laid the line for point tolls for individual guys plus 3,000 odds, and he hit it. He's like, I think I just hit this. And he sent me a screenshot, and I was like, yeah, man, you just cashed it. And he's like, yep, just got the notifications, my money. I'm like, god damn, dude. I was like, if like you're that in tune to Duke, why aren't you texting me before tip off? Like, I would have sprinkled some money on that. But anyways, it's all good.
That's so awesome.
I'm happy for him. I mean, the kid knows that team, so you know, he was all in.
If that doesn't get you jacked to throw a couple of bucks on a game with DraftKings Sportsbook, I don't know what will. So download the app now. Use code THPN. New customers get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. And by the way, the games that I told him to throw into his parlay is Blues over the Flames tomorrow. Ugh. Wild over the Sharks.
I saw you talking shit on me on Twitter saying that I'm a Blues fan. I saw that.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, I know you're so into the Blues. And the Caps. The Capitals over the Maple Leafs tomorrow. That's my three-leg part. Caps win over the Leafs. Blues beat the Flames. And the Wild beat the crap out of the lifeless Sharks. Those are my official picks.
One of those things is going to go horribly awry.
Exactly. So I'm gonna I said I'll buy you a beer if you lose it. And he said, absolutely. So he's in.
There you go. Nice way to get guys gambling, and you can agree by just pumping them full of alcohol.
Oh, I gotta tell you a coffee story first, but like I just was thinking about Raycon Aircons. AirPods. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal with all their earbuds, right? Raycon's wireless earbuds. Coffees start at $5. Everything like is so much money, but Raycon is not affordable. Awesome technology. Their earbuds sound awesome. They are like totally packed down with guarantees, money back guarantees, so many awesome reviews. They sound amazing. They hold the charge for a very long time, and they're half the price of the other guy's stuff. Raycon wireless earbuds. We've got a deal for you too. Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today. That's buyraycon.com/THPN today. Get 15% off your Raycon order. buyraycon.com/THPN to score 15% off with Raycon. My quick coffee story was like last night, Joey, my kitchen sink exploded and like water was just like just dripping out of the bottom of the sink. Basically like the
riveting material. I'm glad you're sharing this. You just buy this house? Why are sinks exploding?
Built in 1985. Oh, nice. So basically the P trap, you know, the little the little U shape that keeps all the crap from coming in your house.
Yes.
Pipe, like basically somebody did a shit job of putting in some crappy old pipe that finally just like started leaking everywhere. So last night I had to clean that up and look at it and try to fix it. And I was like, well, I'm gonna have to go get some shit tomorrow to fix this. But then in the haze of that, I did not set the coffee pot correctly. When I set it up to automatically start, like I do every single night. So we wake up in the morning with the kids to get them ready for school. We have coffee ready to rock. Well,
wake up. That smell's already going in the house. You're like, all right, let's go. Let's do this. Dude, that's the best.
It's Folgers, it's the best. Buddy. Yeah.
I have a freaking Nespresso and I'm like, you know what? This is nice and it's convenient. I'm about to buy just an old school coffee pot because I miss the sound and the smell of it. It's just the best.
Well, guess what? It's awesome until you have a moment like mine, which is like I didn't set it in there right. So the coffee pot did not set the it didn't drain. It wasn't set to drain inside of the coffee pot. So what it did was it overflowed out of the basket. And
wow,
when I woke up to the beautiful smell of coffee and I heard gurgling and I heard boiling and I was like, what? And I got in my kitchen. I should have taken a picture, but my rage did not allow me to access my phone.
Yeah, no, you blacked out in a fit of rage.
Yeah, there was about a 5-foot long river of coffee on my countertop.
Nice.
And somehow it didn't go on the floor. So that's how I'm going to spin this to be positive.
But Jeff Lasso in every aspect of your life.
I was just quiet. My kids were like waking up and coming out and I was like, good morning, honey. And I gave her a hug. And then I like went back to mopping up the thing. And I just was like,
was like clenched teeth. Like, good morning. Good to see you.
Yes. Yeah. Daddy's not happy right now. It has nothing to do with
Between that and the ladder incident where you're electrocuting yourself because you didn't shut off the actual switch. Dude, you are literally walking, talking National Lampoon story. You should just set cameras in your house. And just, that would be like Truman Show yourself. I'm telling you right now.
It's, dude, I got so many stories. Every day there's new stories. Yesterday was like the neighbors we hadn't met. I saw them outside and they were like cleaning up their yards. Like, hey, y'all, what's going on? I just happened to be on that side of the house. Like, hey, what's going on? By the way, can you, your dog barking and waking up our daughter that works nights? Said, and all I looked and I was like already like again miserable again through the end.
Yeah,
the end
like cool. I just met you and you're already telling me things I can do better.
Awesome. Yeah, and I just looked at him and said, okay, and I like walked off.
I would fuck with them. And the next time I saw them, like, oh, hey, how's it going? I'm like, you know what? I'm doing great. You were totally right. Put the dog down yesterday. I hope your daughter sleeps great. And then they're looking at you like, wait, is he serious? Just get in your car and drive to work. Like, just don't even say anything.
My wife is going to love that. She's gonna crack up about
yeah.
that.
Like, yeah, no, I took care of it. I did exactly. You know, I was like, you know what? That was a great suggestion. I really appreciate that.
Look,
put the dog down. Don't want to upset you.
We don't want to have dog. We don't want to have a dog that barks and bothers the neighbors. But at the same time, like, yeah, like, can your 20 something year old daughter who lives at home like get a sound machine or something?
Yeah,
just saying. I don't know. Maybe anyway. Okay,
moving on.
Let's talk about round two.
This is really like cracking pot after dark. Just a full episode. That's what this is. Yeah, that's
fine. Dude, I really should just start making videos every day of all the just like rando stuff that's going on right now, because we are in one right now, Joey. All right. Notum questions. This is a segment of the show where, like, you know, don't ever be afraid to ask us a question. Obviously, if you've made it this far, you know we're idiots. And, you know, if you've got a hockey question and you're afraid to ask anybody else about it, ask us. We'll answer it in Notum questions. So what is this week's Notum question, Joey?
Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
This week's No Dumb Question comes from me, because I saw a lot of this conversation on social media, and it happens often whenever Hackstall is believed to be on the hot seat for the Seattle Kraken. You see a lot of talk about like Philadelphia, right? Because the only other head coaching experience that he had prior to coming to the Seattle Kraken was he was the head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers. And so I, instead of seeing something online and being like, yeah, I agree. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, you know what? Being a newer hockey fan, I don't really understand exactly what went down in Philadelphia with Dave Hackstall. So the question is, what exactly happened with Dave Hackstall in Philly?
So, good question. Yeah.
Good question.
Good reminder.
Joey. Thanks, Joey.
I'm not convinced. I'm not fully sold on getting rid of Hack, by the way. So like, I'm going
to
hear this.
I'm not either. Yeah, no, there's other things that have to change first. And by the way, I think that the rope that they gave him is pretty long, you know, mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I think it's shortened a little bit, but I still think that there's some wiggle room there, and some adjustments have to be made to the team before any talk of Hack. I mean, if he got fired like tomorrow, I'd be fucking shocked, but here's what happened in Philly. So Hackstall goes to Philly. He spends 3.5 years there. During that time, his overall record, 134, 101, and 42 record. He makes it to the postseason twice, loses in the playoffs. It is what it is. Now, the hiring felt weird at the time because he was being courted by the GM. And he was being courted, and he was offered the head coaching gig 3 times, and he turned it down initially twice. He was coaching at the NCAA level. He was coaching at North Dakota. And the reason why Ron Hextall, who was the GM of Philly, was courting him, and I believe we talked about this in a very, very, very early episode of the podcast. You should probably go back and listen to every episode until you find it. The reason why he was courting Hextall so much is because his son, the general manager's son, played at North Dakota. Hack is the coach. Fell in love with Hack based off of what his son's telling him. North Dakota's doing great. So he's like, you got to play here. But here's the thing. Dave Hackstall never had any NHL coaching experience. At the time that he was brought on and eventually agreed, again, third time's a charm. He turned the job down twice, which is already kind of a weird omen. But the time that he goes over to become the Philadelphia Flyers head coach, he's the third person ever to go straight from a college bench to coaching in the NHL. Two people prior to him were Bob Johnson and Ned Harkness. Now, a bad omen kind of into his tenure there, only his second game ever as an NHL head coach. The Philadelphia Flyers lose to the Florida Panthers 7-1. And when they do, the team decides that they are going to hold a closed door meeting, and they do not include their new head coach. So that's fucking awkward. He gets booted from the room. They kick him out of the locker room, team only meeting. And I saw a quote, which I thought was interesting. It's from the Hockey News, which is a great website. The quote is this: Nobody is surprised Haxtell is gone from an NHL bench, likely to be never seen. Wait, likely to be never seen behind one again. And I'm laughing my ass off because joke's on you. He's with the Seattle Kraken. But actually reading that article amongst many others, long story short, he was set up for failure from the beginning with Philly, like roster, whatever. But it wasn't even about that. It was about taking somebody who is telling them, no, I don't want to go to the NHL. I don't have the experience. And Haxtell basically being like, come on, man, like, let's do this, and really courting him and putting him in a position. And then when shit hits the fan, he's going to be the one that ends up losing his job, which he did, you know, 3.5 years into it. So the reason why for me it's different now, and I don't get me wrong, I see why it's so easy to be like, well, look what happened in Philly. Look what happened in Philly. But the reality is, in Philly, like I just talked about this whole fucking thing, he had no experience at all going into that head coaching gig. He comes to the Seattle Kraken with 3.5 years under his belt. So in my opinion, just looking at those things, it's apples and oranges. You can't look at his coaching tenure in Seattle and his coaching tenure in Philly and say they are one in the same. The context for it is incredibly different. So if you're going to talk about that, you have to talk about the context of the situation. You can still hold him accountable, but you can't compare the two scenarios.
Dude, you took the words right out of my mouth, like literally just copy and paste. But I said
I've been guilty of it. I've been guilty of, you know, comparing, kind of like, oh yeah, without really knowing much, kind of like, oh yeah, you saw what he did in Philly. But it's like, yeah, actually, you know what? Looking at it, like there are very, very, very different scenarios. You know, you can still be critical of him no matter what, but let's stop comparing apples and oranges here.
Look, let's just think of one analogy here is like, pick, you know, let's say you've been in a career for, 6 years.
Yeah.
The first 2 or 3 years of you working in that career, were you really good?
One star.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So we're like, were you, could you like just totally make it, you know, last for like, you know, an hour? No.
No. I always get too excited. Wanted to do a good job.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like maybe you were popping pills to keep it going. Maybe you were like the tricks, the trade. But now, look at you, dude. Like you got like all natural, no problem. It's like, look, what time is it? Are you guys getting tired? I'm not. I'm cool.
I'm not. I haven't started sweating yet. Call me the jackhammer now.
Exactly. So like, dude, like you're just, so it takes time to kind of learn how to do the thing.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. And I do feel like, which is why I have to see like another half. If you don't have a decent start to next season, and like basically like the first half of the season, if it's not good, he's got to go.
I would agree.
Because I do feel the things that he does well is I do think he's built what seems to be, he's helped to manage and create a good culture in the locker room. I feel like I think his team likes him. I think his team likes each other. Some new faces this season, but I think the overall core is there. Now, you know, are you making the best decisions on the ice? No, but I'm sorry. Like I don't think head coaching decisions can like make or break every single close game that we've lost. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think there's some things that maybe he didn't make the right personnel decision of who's going to be on the ice. That's on the coach, right? You know, shootouts. Maybe like he's not picking the right people to get that extra point. Okay, that's on him, right? You know, maybe he's pulling the goalie too early. That's on him. That sort of stuff. But like, I would say 20 or 30% of the games we could have won could be maybe attributed more to Dave Haxtell. The rest of it is this team's just not talented enough to get it done. So, you know, I like Dave Haxtell. I think that people put too much emphasis on what an NHL head coach can do on the ice. There's some pretty shitty coaches out there that are getting by and because they've got like talented players on the ice making things happen for them. So, you know, I'm cool with Hack. I think that's a great refresher as to oh man, he just did terrible in Philly. And we do see a lot of that. And I appreciate the people that do say that because, like, yeah, it wasn't the best situation in Philadelphia. But,
yeah,
you know, I think he was just kind of learning what the hell to do.
Yeah, basically, it's like if they were to make me CEO of a Fortune 500 tomorrow and then be like, you got this, right? And I'm like, no, I've never done this. In fact, I don't think I want to do it. And then they just keep coming at me. Mm-hmm. And eventually I'm like, yeah, you know what? That sounds good. That pay looks nice. Maybe I am ready for the big leagues. And then three years in, it's like, Joey's not a good CEO, man. I'm pretty sure he's drunk half the time. I don't know what's going on. He's got a great looking haircut, though.
You know,
so I get it, man. I think another analogy that was in one of the articles I was reading was like, you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole type of a thing. You know, it's he turned it down twice for a reason. It started off on the wrong foot. And you don't really get over that. So if you're going to talk about hacking Philly, you got to provide some context behind it, or don't, because it's social media. Just fire off your takes.
Yep. Nope. I totally agree. Great note on question, Joey. I love it. Thanks for the refresher on that.
It was needed.
Our 3 stars of the week, not involving hockey, things that we're really into right now. There's a lot of things that are good. And we want to kind of break that stuff down and rank them in our 3 stars of the week. So Joey, I'm going to have you go first. What's your third star of the week?
All right. I'm blowing through these tonight. I'm doing Colorado Buffaloes. I'm just proud of my boys. They took down Boise State in the play-in game, and then they took down Florida in a really good game, made a shot with like 1-point-something seconds left on the clock, and then took Marquette down to the wire. Arch Madness has been great. Colorado had a hell of a run on an epic, epic, epic season, and we're just like a couple of missed shots away from moving on to the Sweet 16. So I'm proud of my boys. I'm also proud of the Lady Buffs. The Lady Buffs are playing Saturday against fucking Iowa and Miss Caitlin Clark. I'm calling the upset now because Colorado's fucking good and we can defend. We already have our players on Twitter talking a little shit. They're going to be trying to lock her up. So I'm excited to see Caitlin Clark, the phenom, versus my Colorado Buffaloes. And I think the Buffs are going to pull off the upset.
As far as the tournament goes, I want to say that I did join one bracket. And after the first weekend.
Toast.
No, after the first 2 days of the tournament, I was in first place.
Oh, come on. You would. That would happen. Jeff Lasso things.
Watched 0 minutes of college basketball. I'm currently out of 20, now in 15th place. So it didn't last. But
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That all right. Sense. So, dude, I think I've been thinking about this, honestly, a little bit more than I have been about Seattle Kraken hockey. I think you might need to start a podcast about your picks. From streaming services or like movies or like shows. I don't know, man, because my third star is not this, but I did watch the first episode of The Gentleman, the Guy Ritchie.
Yes.
Dude, just great.
How good is it?
Just so good. Just exactly.
So good. It's exactly what you want it to be.
I mean, like, and it was an hour long, and I'm like, I'm going to be basically watching, like, I don't remember how many episodes that series is, but like, oh, so like, this is going to be like an 8 or 9 hour long Guy Ritchie movie. Awesome.
Oh, that's exactly what it is, dude. I last week, I think I was going to bed at like 2 in the morning because I was like, one more episode. I could not stop.
That's exactly what happened. It was just like Saturday night. I was like, man, I'm tired, but like, I'm going to try this out. I started watching it, and like, dude, I was holding my eyelids open with like toothpicks to watch it, and I was like, this is so great.
It's so good.
Yeah, so
it only gets better, man. It only gets better. I'm glad that you got a chance to check it out.
Oh, and like the first episode was like, this is so Guy Ritchie, like the twist at the end was just like, this is so like Snatch right here. So it's like basically it almost is actually like some of Snatch. Anyway, all right, so my third star of the week, I'm gonna give my Netflix, and I'm kind of getting into this, is the series Outlander.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about this one?
I want to hear your take on it.
Pretty simple. It's based on novels that were written like in the mid 90s. And long story short, it's a woman from, you know, she World War II era, like World War II just ends, and she's living in like, I think, England in like, you know, 1946, something like that. And she's newly married, and she's like out on a picnic and she basically like touches these Stonehenge type stones and she gets transported back into the 1700s. Yeah. And she's living in the hills of if it's Scotland, but anyway, like she's basically living with the Highlanders, right? Who are basically clans of people who are fighting with the British army. And it's like a moment in history that's pretty ugly and rough. And it's like the end. Anyway, she then basically lives out her life after being transported back in time in these times. And she was a nurse in World War II. So she knows all this medical shit that blows people's minds, which... Yeah.
It's like, which tourniquet, like, what the hell did she just do to my arm?
Yeah, which is kind of cool because I've seen this question asked a million times, like, you know, like, what's if you could go back in time, would you be able to survive with the knowledge that you have now? And, like, that's pretty cool. It's like, she could go back, like, she could help all these people who are, like, you know, and so it's partially, like, you know, old school, you know, 1700s, like, drama, some fighting, some war, some... romance type stuff, but then it's also too like she's a witch anyway. So it's pretty cool. I like it. Also too, the first episode's like kind of like softcore porn. I'm just gonna say that. So anyway, there's that.
What you just said about her time traveling, and it reminds me of one of my favorite bits from comedian Nate Bargatze. You would love. He's a clean comic. Oh, no. He's so good.
I love him. I love him.
Nate's great, and he's done. He has that bit about how he would be the worst guy to send back in time. He's like, what is that? And he's like, it's a cell phone. Like, oh my God, how's it working? Like, I don't know. like they, everything they ask him is just him being like, I don't know.
Yes. That's so good.
How'd you get here? By an airplane. How's that work? I couldn't tell you. I'm just the worst person to go back in time.
By the way, like maybe this whole thing should just be like me applauding you for awesome picks, because the Shane Gillis comedian pick, like
did you see the special?
I don't know if it's, I didn't watch the special. I lots of times when I'm doing the dishes at night, I listen to comedy. Mm-hmm. I listened to his stand-up album, and it's just his shit on Trump is just the best stuff.
It's so funny. It's very, very good. Yeah, and he's can be a divisive dude, but his talent is definitely there. My second star of the week, and I finished another book, man. I'm on a fucking heater. My second star of the week is Anthony Bourdain, The Definitive Oral Biography by Laurie Wolliver. And I crushed that book in a couple of days. It's really, she interviewed, I think, like over 90 people, including like his ex-wife, his daughter, his brother. I mean, like it was all people that he was very, very close to. Laurie Wolliver was his assistant for over a decade, traveled with him all over the world, published books with him, and is now publishing books on him and kind of her experience. The cool part is that I was sharing it on Instagram. So I was like, oh, I just finished this. You know, I was just kind of showing, oh, hey, here's a good book to read if you're interested, blah, blah. She saw it and then followed me. And then we had like a conversation via DM. So I had like a very nerdy moment.
That's cool.
Cool. I'm like chatting with fucking Laurie Wolliver right now, the woman who was like Bourdain's, you know, right hand human for a fucking decade. So this is pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. How cool is that?
Yeah. Good. So if anybody, you know, if you're interested in that nerdy shit like I am, it's a very good read. It's very easy to read as well.
My second star of the week is crawfish. Finally had some crawfish for the first time this season last Saturday night.
Still have not. Fuck.
Prices are going back up, dude, because they're in demand for Good Friday. So like,
of course,
last week was like the perfect time to kind of cash in on like the lowest prices of the season so far. It was an impromptu thing. One of my friends who lives in the neighborhood, we were like, dude, let's boil crawfish. Like, sure. So we like boil crawfish and, man, I tell you what, it was pretty legit. We boiled crawfish, we drank beers, and for the first time in 2 years, I smoked a cigar and we hung out in the backyard. It's the first time, first time in my back in my new house that we've had people over.
How'd that feel?
It was great, dude. It was like we actually chilled out at our house for like 6 hours straight, which is the first time we've done that.
But besides put a pause on life, and you're like, you know, we should actually enjoy all this work.
Yeah. So it was awesome, man. It was
good. You'll have more moments like that, though. You'll have more moments like that.
Absolutely, dude. So anyway, crawfish and might have some more this weekend, but we'll see. But anyway, it was good. It's good to have a good batch of crawfish, which I just remembered. I have some in my fridge that I probably need to throw out. So there you go.
Yeah, you should definitely clean that out. It's going to smell awful. And then while you're on it, make sure the coffee pot's on right. So
dude, that coffee pot.
Dude, imagine just old crawfish just in the fridge and coffee everywhere. Like, dude, so, what are you doing?
Dude, I can tell you, tomorrow's cup of coffee is going to be perfect. Like, I'm after this episode's over, like, I'm literally putting down the microphone and I'm going to set the coffee pot up. And that's like, I'm probably just going to stay up an extra 2 hours just to make sure it's good.
There you go. You should put on like those safety goggles and gloves, like you're in science class when you do it, just to make sure you look like fucking.
Oh yeah,
you're in Breaking Bad, like you're in the RV cooking up crystal.
Let them cook, baby.
Yeah. My first star. Speaking of recommendations, my first star of the week is Hot Cross Buns, which is Dave Attell's Netflix special. I just am fucking over the moon that Dave Attell has a fucking Netflix special. The guy's been a stand-up comedian for like, what, 3 or 4 decades now?
Yeah.
I'm old enough to remember when he was doing that show Insomnia on Comedy. I think it was on HBO. And I described him as your favorite comedian's favorite comedian because the dude is just a G. And it's a short special. I think it's only like 30 minutes or so. I watched it yesterday. It is just brilliant. I mean, like rapid fire, like punchline after punchline after punchline after punchline. I mean, like, and everything is just so crisp. He has the crowd in the palm of his fucking hands. It's just a masterclass. And I'm watching, I'm like, this is one of the better specials I've ever seen. And also, it reminds me, a very nerdy moment of mine, the story I told before on the podcast, where I went to the Cellar one time in New York. I got kicked out the first night. And then I go back the second night because I'm like, no, I got to see a show there. Well, the surprise comedian that night was Dave Attell, and an individual sitting next to me that I did not know gave me a bag full of gummies. I forgot that I ate a handful. I was drinking lots of drinks, and everything started to get real fuzzy for me. Well, on the way out from crushing his set, I was sitting next to the door, and I high-fived Dave Attell on his way out. So I was just like wasted. I was like, oh, yeah, man, nice job. A moment for me, not a moment for him. And it's one of those things where, I don't know, I will always remember that. It's just a very New York moment for me. And that was the night that I spent the night on the bathroom floor of that McDonald's on the Lower East Side. But anyways, Dave Attell, this isn't about me. This is a Netflix special. It's incredible. If you are a fan of stand-up comedy, you have to watch. It's so good, man. And also, like, the guys do his fucking flowers. He doesn't like really do any social media. He doesn't do any promotions. He's like the only comedian without a podcast. He just does live shows and everyone knows that he's like the comedy god. He finally, like, he gets a Netflix deal. I'm like, about time this man is given his flowers because he doesn't do stuff like this anymore. I'm glad he did.
That's awesome, dude. I love that. I love stand-up comedy. You know, I don't go see enough of it, but I listen to it all the time.
Okay, we're here, man. Unfortunately, it's not a big scene in New Orleans. I wish it was. It's just not, man. There's just too much other stuff going on. People just don't care that much.
Oh, okay. Because Joey never misses on his recommendations. I'm just telling you, like,
it's only like 30 minutes long, so I'm telling you, it's brilliant. I mean, he's just rapid fire joke. I mean, it's like every 30 seconds, like bang, bang, bang. I mean, it's very, very good.
I mean, you've recommended crossword puzzles. You've recommended Netflix shows. I think music's the only thing you whiff on with me. That's about it.
Yeah, I know.
Most of
Stone Temple Pilots, suck. They're doing the thing. You'd be
mine
like,
mine are really good. Yeah. Yes. That and Alter Bridge. Alter Bridge. And so my musical taste, great. Yours, terrible. Everything else you pick is just spot on.
Well, you're the rap guy.
Perfect. I am the rap guy, and I'm really sad to see
Speaking of rap guy, do you have an opinion on what's going down with Pete Diddley?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, there you go. All right, case closed.
I'm just waiting to see, like, Twitter has turned into a cesspool, by the way, of just, like, insane.
Oh, it's so bad.
But, like, it's gotten so bad with, like, you one viral tweet, you look at it, and then the replies are just, like, all the other viral tweets. But I say that because, like, what's going on with Jay-Z? Like, Jay-Z's tied into this apparently. Yeah. And, you know, like, what? So what's up? So, like, that's what I was alluding to earlier with all the pop stars. Is back in the day, it was like, oh man, Justin Bieber punched a guy in the face. And, oh wow, that's crazy. Now it's like, oh, Justin Bieber's allegedly tied to Jeffrey Epstein. And so is P. Diddy. And so is Jay-Z. And so it's like, Jesus, like, can these people just not, like, be happy that they have $100 million and they're musical artists and they can just go, you know, like they got to go do like allegedly skanky stuff. That's my opinion, is like
living the dream. So why don't we just start doing some sex trafficking? That'll be a good time.
The feds don't kick in your door unless they got something on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, the situation has definitely escalated. It goes from like rumors over a period of years to like lawsuits start to come out. And then next thing you know, you wake up and you're like, wait, the FBI is raiding his homes? Like what? Like it's getting to the point where it's like an arrest is coming at some point. I mean, it's continually escalating. I don't see it ending nice anytime soon.
I agree. My last star of the first star of the week, I was going to say is one thing is Hannibal Buress is my favorite stand-up comedian of all time.
Oh, I love Hannibal. No, he's great. Yeah.
So, but my first star is the Crescent City Classic. It is the annual thing that everybody does in the springtime in New Orleans. It's a huge, it's a 10K walk, run, big charitable thing. And Megan and I are going to do it for fun on Saturday morning, this coming Saturday. We signed up for this like a month ago. We're like, yeah, we're going to do this. And like, she has run none times since we signed up for it. And I have run one time since. And I did that on Monday and I was like, yeah, I'm going to get back. I'm doing this every day this week. I'm going to run every single day. And Monday's run was fine. It was like, okay, I'm back on it. Like, this was tough, but I'm good. Haven't run for shit, not doing it again until Saturday morning. So nice. It is going to be epic. So we'll see how that goes.
World of pain. You'll be fine, man.
No, I'm excited. I'm Jeff Lasso. I'm excited about it. Look, I'm
you
not...
could blow out your ACL on the weekend and be like, I had a great time. It was for a good cause.
No, I will be. I have blown out an ACL. I've torn the Achilles. Yeah. Okay. So like,
I'm not putting that juju on you.
They take it back. Take it back.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, so that's what we're going to do this weekend. Excited about it. Plus then we're going to go hang out with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law and my father-in-law and mother-in-law and all the whole gang, the cousins. We're going to go to
whole in-laws. Holy crap.
All man. The in-laws. And they're
family
cool.
Reunion.
I enjoy hanging out with them. They're great. And we are going to go to Grand Isle. So we're going to go to Grand Isle, which is
never been.
Grand Isle's awesome, dude. It's like literally one of the last stops on in the United States before you get out into the Gulf of Mexico. It's literally like one of the last pieces of land before you just like an open water. And there's
you
like,
you got to get out there now, 'cause it's going to be washed away. I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know how it is out here. I mean, that piece of land, that strip is holding on for dear life.
Oh, the state just said they're going to put like $50 million or $100 million or half a billion into like building up a huge ass, like break reef out there to like kind of help break up some of the storm surge from out there. But
dude, the houses on stilts out there, I've seen photos of, are just bananas. Like people are just, I mean, like a strong wind will like topple your shit.
Oh no. It's like that happened. My brother-in-law, they bought a place out there just before Ida, like 6 months before Ida. And then Ida came in and destroyed, like literally destroyed it. And like, I was watching a webcam of out there before, you know, our internet went out during Hurricane Ida. And dude, I was watching it, and this house is on stilts. Like the floor of the house is like 15, 16 feet up in the air.
It's fucking insane.
And the water, the camera is at the top of the house, like on the, like, you know, side, like of the porch. And the water was like 4 feet from the camera. If that makes sense.
A casual 25-foot wave at your front door.
I need to do some Grand Isle video. You know,
no, you really do. People need to see what we're talking about, because unless you actually, because I haven't even gone, I've just seen, you know, photos and videos and whatnot. But I need to go down there and check it out. What's that drive looking like?
It's not bad. From New Orleans, like an hour and a half. It's not bad.
Like that's it?
No, it's not that far.
Shit, I gotta make a Grand Isle trip then.
It's worth it. They got a couple restaurants out there. It's like it's literally like a small, super small beach town. But it's more of like a, you know, it's the Gulf. The water there is not like,
it's brown.
It's brown. It's not like like blue you'll find in some spots, but it's brown. But it's awesome. Like you go fishing, you go crabbing, and the weather's gonna be like dude, the weather, as you know, here in Louisiana has been pretty kind of shitty between all the rain and, you know, just clouds and stuff. But like this weekend's going to be perfect weather. So
very excited.
Anyway, it's going to be awesome, dude. But all right. Well, thanks for putting up with this bullshit for me tonight. And
how do we go over an hour? We need to go to bed.
Dude, it's time to go to bed. All right. Good night. Sleep, like I tell my son, good night. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Nice. Solid advice.
Don't fart yourself. You know, sometimes that happens. It gets a little weird. You know,
fart yourself. Please don't put your head under a blanket and Dutch oven yourself.
Don't Dutch oven. Hey, good night, Joey. Don't Dutch oven yourself or your girlfriend. So
no promises.
Yeah.
Gotta keep people on their toes.
Maybe the Kraken have Dutch oven themselves this season.
Yeah.
Quote me. Feel free to use that. Any sports outlet can totally quote me. Jeff from the Kraken Pod says,
I think it's a good time for us to wrap it up.
Seattle Kraken have Dutch oven themselves. We'll see what happens next week.
Yeah.
We're going back to the morning skates, definitely. Huh. And we'll leave you with the Kraken Pod chirp of the week. Dutch oven.
Oh, no! We suck again!